This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And away we go. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you. Hope you are well. Rob Brown, the great one, Alonzo, with you this AM. Want to be a part of the show? Easy to do. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone is open for you. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That is 844-326-3663. The text line is available at 71307. 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show. You can get at us on the X at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word. Get up at everybody in here at the Fan Upstate. If you'd like to come in that direction, you're welcome to. You can also shoot me an email if you want, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. And do not forget about the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Put it on all of your digital devices. And when you do, go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the Listen Live button. You will see a little circular microphone button. Click that button. You can leave up to a 60-second voice message. And when you do, it comes directly to the great one and I. We can listen to them during the break and edit them down because you can say whatever you want to say. I do encourage you to. I'm just saying the more you make me edit, the longer it's going to take to get on the air. Okay? It really is that simple.
Do not call on crack on Florida in any way. We saw what a mistake that was. It's just like your buddy going, yeah, talking about his ex-girlfriend, and then you join in, and then he gets back with her. And then now that awkwardness is there. You don't know what to do.
My favorite video was going around a couple of weeks ago where it was this guy, and he's like with this girl that he just proposed to. And he's like, hey, man, I'm calling to let you know she's not my girlfriend anymore. And the guy's like, good, I hated that bleep. And the guy's like, it's because she's my fiance now. He's like, I am so sorry. Genuinely good stuff. All right. And by the way, this is much like the blinds in Dallas conversation. It's not about the blinds. It's not about Florida. I got no reason to. I left Florida. All right. I got no reason to defend. I mean, I do love Destin. I love Pensacola. But I left Florida.
I just labeled a chapter, Lonzo is not a boomer, Rob. 3 exclamation marks.
I mean, I'm not saying you're a boomer. I'm saying you have a boomer take. You're saying you have a boomer take.
Yeah, but
there's a difference between being a boomer and having a boomer take. You have a boomer take.
Okay, well.
All right? It's very Midwest Ohio. I get it.
How would you know? How many people from Midwest Ohio do you know?
I lived in Florida a lot.
Okay, all right. All right, good point. Good point. You know all about Ohio and Michigan. Okay.
All right, it is 7:04 in the morning. You got just over 55 minutes until you got to get to work, get logged in, respond to all those passive-aggressive emails from the boss, and then once you do, you stand up, you walk down the hallway, you head to the water cooler, you glug, 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 pour yourself a big old glass of icy, fresh, cool refreshment, and then you talk sports with your coworkers. And if you're going to talk about sports, you need to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, you need this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. When you do, this is what you will be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. Gino Auriemma, the head coach of the UConn women's basketball team, already a historic Hall of Fame, elite, maybe greatest of all time coaching career. The man has had 11 national titles, 23 Final Four berths, 15 of them coming out of the last 16 seasons. His UConn Husky basketball team has gone undefeated 6 times. He has a win streak of 98 games and a win streak of 111 games. Last night, in front of 60-plus former players in a sellout home crowd, Gino Auriemma's Huskies knocked off Farley Dickinson 85-41. Why is that important? Because it was Gino Auriemma's 1,217th win, making him the most winningest basketball coach in NCAA history for women's or men's for any division. The record breaker was his 329th victory of at least 40 points. He has had more than twice as many 40-point wins in his career as he has total losses. 1,217 wins passes Tara Vanderveer, who retired back in April of this year. He tied her last Friday, broke the mark last night. Auriemma said, "We never sat down and said, hey, let's make a 40-year plan and see if we can make this happen. It's about coming here every day and trying to be better than we were yesterday." The game doubled as a celebration for Auriemma and longtime associate head coach Chris Daly's 40th season in Connecticut. Red t-shirts and lightning adorned Gamble for the duo's Ruby anniversary with the team. A fan fest was held near the arena with a petting zoo full of goats. Get it? Get it? Because he's the goat. So they brought the goat. Anyway.
Were they baby goats?
I don't know.
They're cuter.
You would.
You don't like baby goats?
I like baby goats. They're called kids. I'm a big fan.
All right. I thought you were going to come at baby goats today.
No, I thought you were referencing the fact that we all call Patrick Mahomes the baby goat.
No, you're reading too much into it. I was just literally talking about baby goats.
I thought it was a way to get some Mahomes injection in here, which I respect. And I'm sorry for disrespecting Patrick Mahomes by saying that. That's on me. Gino Auriemma, now the winningest coach in college basketball history, passed Tara Vanderveer's 1,216. The next three in the line, Mike Krzyzewski with 1,202, Pat Summitt with 1,098, and Vivian Stringer with 1,055. The only other name that is still active right now that could climb into that discussion is Jim Boeheim, but I don't think that's going to happen. Let's get to item number two. That was an aggressive gurgle.
The boss was coming. He's trying to get you water and get out.
Chris Sale and Tarek Skubal have been named your Cy Young Award winners in Major League Baseball. The Atlanta Braves lefty coming back off of Tommy John surgery. Not only did he win the Cy Young, he won the Cy Young, as has been done 25 times in the history of Major League Baseball across both leagues, was also your Triple Crown winner this year. He had an 18-3 record, a 2.38 ERA, and 225 strikeouts across the league. Led the NL in wins, ERA, and strikeouts. Got the Triple Crown. He and Skubal were the first pitchers to win the Triple Crown in a full season since Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander did it back in 2011. Shane Bieber did it. That'd be dope if Shane Bieber did it. What a career that guy's having. Shane Bieber did it in the pandemic-shortened 2020 season. There have been 25 pitching triple crowns, and a Cy Young Award followed each and every one of them to the shock of exactly no one. Sale's resurgence was a blast from last decade when he was one of the top starting pitchers in the sport. But starting in 2019, he had a series of injuries that included Tommy John surgery back in March of 2020. From 20 to 2023, Chris Sale made only 31 starts. 20 of those came with the Boston Red Sox last season. The Braves took a shot on Chris Sale, acquired him in an offseason trade, and I would say, yeah, it paid off. If Max Fried ends up with the LA Dodgers, the performance of Chris Sale this year has got to make the Braves feel a little bit better about their chances coming up next year. Pretty good year. It is not Chris Sale's first time being a Cy Young candidate. From 2012 to 2018, he finished with Cy Young votes all seven seasons, finishing second, third, fourth, fifth twice, and sixth twice. He had been tied with Mike Mussina and Nolan Ryan for the most top five finishes without winning. They all did it six times. He finally did get the trophy this year with the Atlanta Braves. Sales ERA, the lowest for a Braves left-hander in the expansion era dating back to 1961. It is the eighth Cy Young Award for the Braves organization, the first since Tom Glavine won his second back in 1998, which was a very, very long time ago. Congrats to Chris Sale for winning the Cy Young Award for Atlanta in the National League. Tarik Skubal from the Detroit Tigers won it over in the American League. Let's go to item number three. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has announced their 25 modern era player semi-finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. These are the names that could potentially find their way in. Lonzo, I would like to do this. As I read these names, stop me for guaranteed entry. All right? For any player you think, guarantee first ballot. All right?
Wow.
I know. I did this earlier today. There were a couple of them. Not as many as I thought there might be, though it is a list of names. And it's interesting. I think it's going to be for both of us, but it's interesting for me because now we are starting to see players go in that I watched as an adult.
You are so old.
I know. It feels like up until this year, it's always been guys that like, oh, I watched that guy when I was a kid. Now I'm like, oh, I was a grown-ass man when I watched that grown-ass man.
Well, I'm over that now. It's been
a while for you.
Yeah, it has.
I'm just circling into that.
Yeah.
All right, here's the list. Stop me when there's a guaranteed entry, Lonzo. Eric Allen. Jared Allen. I know.
Jared Allen was so good.
I love that dude.
He was so good.
But is it Hall of Fame caliber? We're going to talk about these a little bit more in depth.
You're saying guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
First ballot guarantee.
I think he's definitely Hall of Fame caliber, but I don't know if it's first ballot.
Okay. Willie Anderson, Anquan Boldin, Jari Evans. I'm going to say yes. A lot of you don't. It's an offensive lineman. Tough to say that that's a first ballot, but I'm going to say yes. Antonio Gates.
First ballot.
James Harrison.
First ballot.
I agree with both. Rodney Harrison.
First ballot.
Torrey Holt. I know. That one's another one that I'm like, I think so.
He benefited from the team he was on.
Yes, he did.
So,
but also, he kind of made the team he was on. He and Isaac Bruce in that game was a wagon.
He did, but we've seen in the past, like with Pittsburgh's great receiving core, there are a couple guys that took forever to, back in the Bradshaw days, took forever to get in the hall.
Luke Kuechly. I'm going to tell you the truth, and you're going to hate this. I don't think he's going in at all. I don't think he's getting in.
I think he does get in eventually.
It'll be the players and coaches ballot later.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think the media puts him in. I don't. Eli Manning?
Will. Shouldn't, but will.
Why not? Two Super Bowls. Ended the Patriots' bit of history. You should be happy about that. Your team's got it. Well, not anymore. They don't, but had a chance to do what the Patriots couldn't.
Yeah.
I forgot you lost last weekend. My bad. Robert Mathis. Steve Smith Sr., I think he's in, but I don't think he's first ballot.
Yeah, I don't think he is either.
Terrell Suggs, Fast Freddie Taylor, Earl Thomas, Adam Vinatieri.
He's in.
First ballot?
Yeah. I mean, it's not very often that a kicker is mentioned.
I feel like if you know a kicker's name.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would agree. Hines Ward. I know, I'm 50-50 on that one, too. Ricky Waters, I think that's first ballot. I do. I think Ricky Waters is first ballot.
See. I'm not sold.
Reggie Wayne, Richmond Webb, Vince Wilfork, I think he's first ballot.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Steve Wisniewski, Darren Woodson, Marshall Yanda. I think we've hit him. I think there's probably three on this list that are guaranteed first ballots.
And then they'll pick a coach probably. There's the fact that there's not one on there. They'll go whatever that committee is that picks guys that have been on there for a while.
The full selection committee will reduce that list of 25 down to 15. Those 15 will be voted on the annual meeting before the Super Bowl that will produce the new class. Players must be approved by 80% of voters to get in, with between 3 and 5 players getting in as modern era candidates. There will also be votes for 3 seniors candidates, 1 contributor, and 1 coach, with between 1 and 3 people from that group getting into the Hall of Fame. Leading the group of candidates in their first year of eligibility, according to an initial poll, Eli Manning, former Defensive Players of the Year Luke Kuechly, and Terrell Suggs. So maybe I'm wrong about Kuechly. Maybe he does have a little more respect than I thought he did.
I was going to ask you the question, who you thought would get in first, Kuechly or Steve Smith.
Oof. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Steve Smith was a great receiver, but Kuechly stood out. When he was out there, he was the best linebacker in football. There was no question.
I've said
this before.
And
there's some really good guys out there, and he was it.
I think I am, amongst folks here in the upstate anyway, I think I'm uniquely qualified to talk about Carolina because I can, do, have, will, view this team through the lens of a rival, right? Like, I'm not a guy who was neutral on Carolina and then came here. In fact, when I was auditioning for the job, when I was talking with the boss about it, one of the things I put on the table when he was asking me is like, hey, you know, how much do you know about Clemson? How much do you know about South Carolina? How much do you know about the Carolina Panthers? And I said, I know about Clemson and South Carolina because I covered Florida and Florida State, and that's a couple of divisional rivals at the time, divisional rivals for those teams. I said, and I know about the Carolina Panthers. I'm a Saints fan. I watch your team almost as much as I watch mine because we play them twice a year. It's a divisional rival, whatever. I've said for years, Steve Smith Sr., I hated his apply. I respect the hell out of him now. By the way, I should say friend of the show, Steve Smith Sr., all right? Respected him as a player, but hated him because of the bleep talking, because he was the best at it, maybe ever. Luke Kuechly, I was genuinely afraid of. Because Luke Kuechly was a guy that I'm like, he's going to kill somebody. And not only was he just a, like, you want to talk about outdoor practice guy. Hard-nosed outdoor practice linebacker. That was Luke Kuechly. But Lonzo is one of the smartest damn football players I've ever seen. This guy knew what you were going to run before you ran it. He diagnosed everything. Like, he was incredible. If it's me, Kuechly goes in before Steve Smith Sr.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, I want him to be first ballot. That was, I mean, not only was he the best linebacker in football, he was probably my favorite player for a long time when he was out there.
You got to be an absolute dog for me to like you when you're playing for my rival, right? Warwick Dunn was one of those cats running back when he was there. Jamal Lewis, same thing for Atlanta. Hate the Dirty Birds. Loved watching those guys play. Luke Kuechly was a guy that even if the Saints weren't playing Carolina, I'd watch Panther football just to watch Luke Kuechly because that guy was an absolute dog on defense. I think Kuechly goes in before Steve Smith Sr. All right, we'll talk some more about some of the Hall of Fame class coming up later on in the radio broadcast. We got a lot to get to. Stick around. The Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio broadcast today. 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. If you want to jump on the air, we would certainly love to have you. You know, we talked yesterday very briefly about the concept of tanking. We talked very briefly yesterday about whether or not NFL teams truly attempt to tank. And I said yesterday on the show, I don't think that NFL players attempt to tank. And on top of that, I think, and we have seen this because I over the past handful of years, and we played you some sound from Ja'Marr Chase yesterday, who was very frustrated and understandably so with the Cincinnati Bengals, because that offense can go out and generate 500 yards and five touchdowns in a game, and they keep losing anyway. And Ja'Marr Chase was in front of his locker after another loss for the Bengals, where they put up, would Joey B have like 400 yards of offense and four touchdown passes, and they still lost for like the second time in a row? Joe Burrow is going to cross the 5,000 yards mark with probably a game or two left to go, and they might still have a losing record. So they were talking to Ja'Marr Chase in front of his locker, and they're like, hey, man, like, can you develop consistency, whatever? And he was just like, that's not my job. Why don't you go ask Zach, right? Call in the coach by the first name. Why don't you go ask Zach? That ain't my job. That's his job, right? I think players are more willing than ever before to criticize coaches. And it's up to you to decide if that's a good thing, a bad thing, or not, right? I think there are some coaches that can be successful with the player-coach mentality. Dan Campbell's doing it in Detroit right now. I think there are other coaches that can be more successful with the authoritative style coaching. Although, is there an example of that right now? I don't think there is, though. Is there like a Tom Coughlin-style coach today that is successful? I think about the coaches that have been successful the last few years, and I'm thinking about guys like McVay, McDaniel, Reed, Campbell. Like, all these coaches that are successful and routinely at the top of the list right now, don't they kind of all seem like player coaches nowadays?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they kind of do. And I'm interested in that. I'm interested in that, and I do have a theory about it, and I want to come to that here in just a minute. But we were talking about the concept of tanking, and I said yesterday on the show, I do not think that players tank. I don't think players would accept tanking, and if for no other reason, tanking as a player makes your film look bad. And if your film looks bad, you're going to have a really difficult job getting anybody to give you more money down the line. So I don't think that players are willing to tank. What I do think is that franchises are. And I think franchises are willing to some degree to kind of massage things behind the scenes to make it more difficult for their team to succeed, because they know that tanking leads to better draft picks. And as I've said on the show 1,000 times, I think draft picks are a bad team's best friend, right? You have to build through the draft. I don't think it's like a philosophy thing anymore. So I got a couple of sound bites that I want to play for you real quick. I'm going to start with Trey Wingo, and then we're going to go to Mark Schlereth. Big stink. And here's why. Because we talked about this yesterday, and I did not directly talk about the team that both of these guys are about to talk about, but they both talked about it. Two separate clips I stumbled upon last night. Let me start with Trey Wingo. So, almost exactly what I said yesterday. Now, I didn't go into depth with the Giants, but that's who I was talking about. And then Wingo goes on and basically has the same take on social media yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. I don't think players tank. I do think teams do. He wasn't the only one with that take. Mark Schlereth not only got heated, but Lonzo, towards the end of this, Schlereth breaks out a Rob Brown classic. Breaking out the
I just want to point out, because I am an award-winning producer, my version.
Oh, for sure.
Our version.
For sure.
Better music.
Oh, yeah.
Better timing. And
oh, yeah.
And honking sound effects,
oh, yeah,
too. I mean, come on.
Without a doubt. That is why we are three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. For sure. And I believe we've actually used that in one of our... Didn't we use that in one of our finalist submissions once?
I believe we did.
I think we did. Anyway...
Not only did we do it, we did it years ago.
It was like either the first or the second one, if I recall correctly. Anyway, the point here is, yeah, because you paid Drew Lock $5 million. And while Tommy DeVito, is interesting, sure, because he came in, he had his run, we all got on board. I do think a part of that was Sean Stiletto. I think a part of that was the sideshow aspect of it. But I think the point that is being made here is a sideshow will get you a brief bit of attention. Why are the Kansas City Chiefs on our damn television all the time? Because they keep winning. You want the attention? Go win. You want to sell tickets? Go win. And
why,
when you make
the
decision.
Dallas Cowboys on our screen? All
because
the time.
They get eyeballs. And even if, here's the thing, even if the eyeballs come.
I was thinking a sideshow. But,
even if the eyeballs come because it's people wanting to dunk and make sure you know that we know that you are miserable, Dallas Cowboy fans, it's still an attraction. Dallas fans love to do that. Hey, you know, I mean, we might be bad, but you're still talking about us. It's like, yeah, but like, what's that do for you, right? What's that do for you? It makes you look silly. When I got social media influencers walking around Jerry World and they are showing minutes after the Cowboys get it handed to them again that Jerry's merch store is full of customers willingly separating from their hard-earned American dollars, we're laughing at you, right? The thing with the Giants is, I might go tune in to the Giants this way. In fact, I'll even tell you, I will, because I want to see Tommy DeVito. Huh?
I hope Tommy DeVito wins.
So do I. But let's be real. That's from a sideshow angle, right? The Giants aren't a compelling football team, even if Tommy DeVito comes in and wins, because do you think Tommy DeVito is winning enough to make the Giants a threat to anybody? Probably not. They might win one or two as a little boost, but they're not. Even with Tommy DeVito, who I love, he's fun, he's entertaining. Even with Tommy Cutlets, they're not like suddenly a team that's worthy of being respected, right? So the point here is, Schlereth has a point in that if you're a free agent, now you know, okay, if things go sideways for the Giants, they're willing to bench guys they're paying $5 million for. Why the hell am I going to go there? Drew Lock can't get a better job next year because he's not playing this year to put anything on tape to prove it. Schlereth's got a point. He's exactly right. The point here is, you can be anti-tank as you want. You say the players will never tank. I agree with that. But the franchises will. And I think Wingo and Schlereth both just made the argument that I was making yesterday. All right, got some more football just around the corner. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. We were talking about Schlereth during the break. I won't go deep down the rabbit hole, but I have a stink story. When I was in my early days of broadcasting, I did a show down in Florida for a guy named Max Howell. He was a former college and very brief in the NFL coach. And I was his producer. And because Max Howell was a dude that knew football but could not carry a show by himself, I was kind of like, I was a producer the way that the guys on the McAfee show were the producer. Like, it's clearly Pat and it's clearly Pat's show. But he brings the guys in. If you've ever noticed when McAfee does interviews, those guys don't just talk. He says, hey, Connor's got a question for you, coach, right? Like, he opens the floor for them, and then he takes it back. That was kind of my role on that show. So we had Schlereth on early in Schlereth's broadcasting career, like the first year after he retired from the NFL. And I don't remember specifically what the conversation was about, but Schlereth had a hot NFL take. And again, I get it. He was right in the window of beginning his broadcasting career, and this was, I think, right around the time that companies were starting to learn that hot takes sell and good takes don't. And I still believe that. But Schlereth had a hot NFL take. I don't remember specifically what it was, but I had a number that disagreed with him. I had a number that disagreed with him, and I called him. I don't want to say I called him out, like, respectfully. I was like, hey, man, here's the number. I disagree with your take, and here's the number that backs me up. And basically, Schlereth, like, went off on me. He was like, no. And he gave me a, did you ever play NFL football? Did you ever play the game? Because I did. And that, I think, is part of the reason, because I felt as a new broadcaster, like, I was learning the ropes, whatever. And I kind of felt like, why would you, like, you got to come into my house and disrespect me like that? Just because I never played football doesn't mean I don't understand the game. I don't need to have played in a 3-4 cover one defense to recognize what it is and how it works and why it works and what it works best against and what it works worst against. This is why I've always been like, there's a lot of former players that are really good broadcasters, but I don't think that every show needs to be a former player, right? I think that's what the podcast world is for. But anyway, Schlereth, like that take. Like that take, agree with that take. There's another take that I found yesterday that I think is kind of interesting. The question has been asked a thousand times. Can college coaches be successful in the NFL? And my answer is no. Not that none of them can, because we saw Pete Carroll do it. But
see, when you say that, though, I mean, aren't the majority of NFL coaches former college coaches?
I think what they mean is can, like, established successful college coaches make the transition. Nick Saban, nope. Steve Spurrier, nope. Chip Kelly, nope. Right? These guys can't do it. And there is a reason. There is a reason that elite college head coaches cannot translate to the NFL. And I've made this point 1,000 times. But Shady McCoy was doing an interview earlier this week on a podcast. And he told the story. Now, you may disagree. You may think that Shady McCoy is, you know, being sensitive or whatever. But the reality is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's being sensitive, if he's right or wrong or not. What matters is Shady McCoy was one of the most important players on Chip Kelly's team when Chip Kelly was trying to make it with the Eagles and failed. And Shady McCoy kind of gave us some insight as to why. So Shady McCoy says he was out on Chip Kelly when he got called into Chip Kelly's office. And Chip said, I want to talk about your sleeping patterns. You only got 3 hours of sleep last night. I want to talk about that. And I found that interesting because you remember we talked earlier in the show, or was it yesterday? I don't remember. Time's a flat circle and it all blends together. We talked about, actually it was yesterday. It was when we were talking about conference championships. Would you rather play for a conference championship and risk not making the playoffs or not play for a conference championship, but know that you've punched your ticket? And I said, you know, there are times, and it's hard to do this sometimes, but there are times that you have to recognize that what you love and what you care about and what you are passionate about is not the logical, rational thing to pursue, right? The logical, rational thing for me to pursue at 10 o'clock at night is to be dialed into every NBA game, every NFL game. It's to be me sitting at the house and doing show prep and learning and reading and studying. Not to be sitting in my backyard next to a fire pit playing guitar and drinking bourbon. But I love to sit outside next to the fire pit playing guitar and drinking bourbon.
I think we know that. You've mentioned that a lot lately.
Well, because of this same story from yesterday.
Okay.
So the point that I'm making here is sitting outside and drinking bourbon and playing guitar is winning the conference championship. Being inside reading Vince Lombardi books while watching NBA games and learning how to break down games is making it to the playoffs. The logical thing is go to the playoffs. But the thing I'm passionate about is winning the conference, a.k.a. fireside guitar and bourbon, right? It makes sense that if I could get my players on board with having doctors that are monitoring their sleep schedule and studying how their bodies are most efficiently optimized to be the greatest NFL player they can be, that'd make a lot of sense, right? Logically speaking, if we all did the things health-wise that logically and rationally we're supposed to do, we'd all be the best version of ourselves. But we also love pizza.
This is weird because you're not taking the player's side in this.
I am not.
Yeah, this is...
No, wait, no. I am. Hold on. Let me get there.
Okay.
I am.
All right. So far, it doesn't seem that you are.
Because here's the thing. I went to a doctor's appointment not too long ago. Doctor was like, hey, man, listen, like you're in way better shape than you were a year ago for sure. But you're not in the best shape, right? I'm still overweight. I'm in way closer to
yeah, governmental,
than it was.
Governmental BMI regulations are just stupid.
Well, they're not regulations. Well, there's no law against being fat. It's advice, guidelines, suggestions.
There would be if they could make that work, probably.
As Captain Barbossa said, guidelines. Okay? That's pretty good, Barbosa, if I can be honest. Guidelines. All right, anyway, the point here is...
all about you today.
I love some Barbosa. So, I mean, I love me some me, said me and Terrell Owens. The point here is, from a coaching perspective, it absolutely makes sense that I want to know my players are getting the right amount of sleep, they're getting the right nutrition, they're on the right schedule, they're optimized to be the best, most Terminator version of themselves that they can be, because if I can get the best Shady McCoy I can get, I got a better chance at winning. On the flip side, they're still people. They're still players. They're still people. And yeah, if he owns a Rolls, he doesn't want to get on a bus to leave the stadium to go to the hotel to get on a bus to come back to the stadium for a game. I'm an adult. I'll show up to work in my own damn car.
See,
okay?
I get all that. The sleep pattern thing bothers me a little bit because unless they volunteered to be monitored.
Well, apparently they did.
Okay, so if you volunteered to be monitored, then that's on you. Then if you didn't read the fine lines.
That's what Shady made it sound like, right? It made it sound like he knew this was happening and it went too far.
Yeah, because and he said he decided to stop doing
right.
it. So that would imply that he
decided.
Agreed.
But the point of it is Chip Kelly came in and tried to run this NFL team as a college team, right? College teams all meet and get on a bus together to go to the hotel and bus back. NFL teams don't do that. College players are the ones that have every single element and aspect of what goes in their body, comes out of their body, that's all college. That's not the NFL. In the NFL, you got to let these grown-ass men that are multimillionaires just be the guy, right? Logically and rationally, it would have made perfect sense for NFL players to listen to Chip Kelly and listen to Nick Saban and listen to Steve Spurrier and these coaches who I genuinely believe all showed up in the locker room and tried to run their NFL team like they ran their college teams. But realistically speaking, those guys aren't going to react to that. And so the question is, how do you balance getting the best out of those players with allowing the players to feel like they are still grown-ass men playing a game for a living?
Can you explain Jim Harbaugh then?
Yeah, I can. Jim
Harbaugh.
A
lot of video of him hugging and palling around, doing a bunch of stuff, the stuff that he did in college, doing it to his NFL players.
Not the same. I think there is a difference between acting like a goober. And by the way, I already know for a fact that when Hayden S. Mario comes in here, he's going to dunk on me because everything I thought about Jim Harbaugh was wrong. I thought it was going to take time. And all of a sudden, would you look at this? The damn Chargers are a Super Bowl threat in year one, right? I don't think Jim Harbaugh, there is a difference between coming in and palling around and high-fiving. These guys get in the locker room after a win. There's video of it going around on social right now. And the Chargers sing for "He's a Jolly Good Fellow" to whoever wins the game ball. That's the most 1910s BS I've ever seen. If I was at a company party and somebody won, like, Employee of the Year, the boss was like, "We're going to sing He's a Jolly Good Fellow." I'm like, "No, are we, pal?" Say, flick a quarter in the air. I'd be like, no. Let's put on some Drake or whatever. And get down.
I don't know. I think I'd feel pretty good if they sang.
Well, that's because that song's from your day, right?
No, it's not. I just the part which nobody can deny. That's the only part I care about.
Here's the reality. You think the Chargers are acting that way around Jim Harbaugh if they're 3-7? No, of course not. You can be buddy, pal, high-five, whatever.
I don't think that he just slowly evolved into that. He came in with that.
For sure. But again, I'll tell you what I don't think Jim Harbaugh's doing. And remember, Jim Harbaugh is not a successful college coach who came to the NFL. He's a successful NFL coach who went to go be successful in college and then came back, right? I think Jim Harbaugh is the type of dude that tells the players, "I'm not going to monitor your sleep. Be an adult. Be responsible," right? "I'm not going to monitor your time watching a video on iPad. Just be an adult with a job and responsible. And as long as you show up into your job, I trust you like every other adult in the world. I don't get a text from my boss at 11 p.m. going, 'Are you in bed yet? Because you have to be up for your show in 3 hours. I don't get that. He says, "Do you show up? Do your job?" And if the answer is yes, whatever. I'm going to leave you the hell alone. Guys like Chip Kelly, guys like Nick Saban, they get so ingrained in college of being in control of every single minute, day to day, of their players' lives that it doesn't work when they get to the NFL because they don't know how to let go of that control.
I'd be willing to bet that Chip Kelly isn't doing that now as the offensive coordinator of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I don't know that
he's not monitoring.
I don't know that I'd be so sure about that. Now, here is my question.
But he's not the head coach, so he probably doesn't have that power.
True. He may be assigned to do it, but forget all that. Here's my question. Will we ever see another Nick Saban who had that, like, I'm in control of every minute and every aspect of your day? Will we see that type of coach in the NIL and transfer portal era?
I'll say we're already seeing it. Coach Prime.
See,
he has control over everything and does everything.
I don't disagree, but I also watched a video yesterday where Prime went out, and I'm going to give him credit for this. Prime went out to a bank in Boulder, and he got a bank to come in and partner up NIL style and open a savings account for every player on his team who has a kid for the kid and put $2,121 in it. Got to open a savings account with interest and all that, like a growth account for their college career. That's the kind of stuff Deion's doing for his kids. I'm willing to have, like, if our boss got a little bit more controlling over my time and schedule, I would be willing to put up with it because I really like working for the guy. My old boss, if he came in and said, I'm going to take more time and control over your day-to-day schedule outside of work, I'd be like, yo, bleep this, I'm out, because I hate working for you. I just do it because I want to stay in the biz, right? All right, we'll talk more about this later. When we come back, Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News joins us. We'll talk about the South Carolina Gamecocks' last win over Mizzou, what she expects to see out of a tune-up game this weekend. We may even look ahead to Clemson. We'll find out. That's after Lonzo blows your mind with his sports flash.
Yeah, we all know when Rob's sleep patterns are off, don't we?
They don't exist.
The Carolina Hurricanes earned their 14th win in 18 games with a 4-1 win over the Flyers last night. Jordan Staal and Jack Roslovic each scored within a minute of each other in the third period to take a 2-1 tie to a 4-1 lead. While Jalen Chatfield and Sebastian Aho each netted goals earlier in the night, the Canes' third consecutive win moves them to the top of the Metropolitan Division. South Carolina's women's basketball team dominated at Clemson last night, securing a 77-45 win. Only two players, Tiana Pau-Pau with 13 and Ashlyn Watkins with 10 off the bench, reached double digits. But the Gamecocks saw 11 different players record at least one bucket. USC rebounded Clemson 54-30. Tune in this Saturday at 1:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Mercer Bears. It's Furman versus Mercer right here on your home for Paladins football, the Fan, Upstate.